this is Nick again, and I'm here with Joan Liotta. And Joan is a poet and children's author, and she has written a book called Feathers on Stone, which is a book of poetry. And tell us a little about what kind of poetry this is.
Well, most of my poems are stories. They go into, they take a beautiful moment and tell you the story of that moment. So my poetry has a wide appeal because even people who don't like poetry like stories.
Right.
Everybody likes stories. So that comes from my natural storytelling, going back to my grandmother who told me a lot of stories, and just little moments of life and being able to appreciate everything that you see in life. So that's what I do.
Well, tell me what kind of beautiful moment you would write a poem.
You got it. Anything. I loved seeing little Catherine perform in the other room. That was a beautiful moment. I love it when children really express themselves. You know, I find a leaf on the sidewalk, and that's a beautiful moment. So for me, beauty is not necessarily what someone else thinks, because I'll connect it to something. Mm. In fact, I did write a poem about a dead leaf I saw on a person's dashboard.
And
that was very celebrated and won an award. And I won a prize for a poem about my grandmother's quilting. Was made from her coats. And so it's how it relates to you and how it relates to people.
Well, it sounds like your grandmother had a big influence on your writing. And so tell me about her.
Well, she was a wonderful person.
Uh-huh.
She told a lot of stories. Growing up, I used to spend loads and loads of time with her. And she was probably conceived in the boat over from Italy. And she was born in Pittsburgh and before the turn of the century, the last century.
Yes.
And she ran away and got married. In 1913, and had my mother in 1915 when she was only 17 years old. So, and then she became a widow when she was in her mid-40s, and she just soldiered on. She was very...
Not the easiest life.
No, but she, anytime you saw her or talked to her, she could always find the beauty in something.
Yes.
She would feed the birds, and we'd sit out there and feed the birds, and if a big crow came to steal from the sparrows... She said, that's beautiful, too. And she would talk to me about it, and we'd talk about it.
And so she taught you about beauty. Did she teach you about writing also?
No, not so much. She got pulled out of school when she was in about eighth grade. And she thought writing and education and reading were very, very important. So she had the whole set of Mark Twain's books in her house. And I read through them all at her house. So, and she always tried to have a book in her hand. So reading, and my, so did my mother and so did my father. Reading was always very important.
Well, when did you start writing poetry?
I started writing poetry when I was a little girl, actually. And then my first poem for pay was published when I was 14 in a children's magazine. Actually, a magazine for children called The Horn Book. It's actually for librarians.
Yes.
And they don't publish children's work anymore. They used to.
That must have been a real encouragement.
Oh, it was. It was. And so I was published in most of Pittsburgh, PA's and Allegheny County's, you know, local things. And then in college and so on. And then I wrote short stories, and I write crime fiction, and I have four novels, historical fiction over there on the book.
This is your latest book.
It's my latest book. Yeah. My other publishers are out of business.
Okay.
Except for the other poetry book. And that just, you know, it happens, but I brought some of the out of print books with me.
Yeah, they're for sale.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So Feathers on Stone is the name of this book. And do these poems in this book have a particular theme as opposed to earlier books you've done?
Actually, because I'm eclectic in my interests, these are divided into sections rather than one theme throughout. There's one, encountering nature, where you see how I've related to something natural. And then there's a big section on food and family because, hey, I'm Italian. What do you want? Both sides. And then there's moments of wondering where I'll see something and it just takes me away. This one called Magritte's Apple Explains It All. It was nominated for a pushcard.
Okay.
And it's based on a painting. Exactly. By the absurd. Well, he's surrealist, actually. And it's really about my mother.
The poem about Rene Magritte's.
But yes, this picture by Manet, you probably know it, but if listeners don't know what it is, this particular painting by Magritte is a giant apple inside what looks like a classroom, and it overcomes everything. And when I see this out, when I saw that painting, I said, oh my gosh, that's why I can't dream of my mother. Because I dream of other people in my past all the time, and I talk to them and so on. But I wasn't being able to dream of my mother. And Magritte's apple explained it all to me. This is what it says here. Because my mother was bigger than life, like the apple in Magritte's painting, my whole life. And so I've never really been disconnected from her. So she doesn't need to wait for my dreams. I can hear her voice in my head all the time. Joan, don't do that. Or Joan, you should do this. And that's it.
Do you have any poets that you yourself find inspirational just their personal favorites?
Yes. Personal favorites, I go for the classics. I'm really Theodore Rertke and T.S. Eliot. Okay. But when it comes to modern ones, I'm in a group of poets, storytelling poets, and Mary Rose Boehm and John Stanitzi and several other people like that. I just love their poetry. And also the former poet laureate of North Carolina, I interviewed him for an article, and he was so gracious. Joseph Bethanti. He's a Pittsburgher also.
Oh,
Jenny, my daughter says it's a cult.
He must have moved down to North Carolina.
He did move down to North Carolina after he went to school. And he got away from the cold. And he grew up in my grandmother's old neighborhood, interestingly enough. So they're people I really admire.
Okay. Do you find that Pittsburgh is a place influences your poetry?
Yes, definitely. Pittsburgh, if you're a Pittsburgher, if you were born and raised in Pittsburgh, it never leaves you.
Yeah.
I left when I was 17, moved to the D.C. area. Well, actually, no, I went to college and then grad school in the D.C. area. And then I stayed here. And then we were in North Carolina for 20 years after my husband retired, and we came back. I love this area.
I've noticed that actually about Pittsburghers that I've met.
Yes, Pittsburgh never leaves you.
Yes. What other projects are you working on now?
Well, right now I'm trying to put together some more poems for another chapbook. And I'm also working with a poet friend of mine who has been very ill. And she has a blog that she'd like to continue. And I'm working with her sister to try to have her work continue. Because, you know, if you love someone, you don't... I'd love Sharon's poetry, too. And I love her as a person and want her to... Her work to continue is very important. So.
Okay. So a few minutes ago, you did a reading that was a children's reading or a children's book.
It was a performance, not a performance.
Okay. I wonder.
No paper.
That's really, it was a performance. Could you talk a little about the stuff you do?
Indeed. I do. I perform folklore for children, as you heard me do on the stage. And I also... do Louisa May Alcott for children and adults, that in costume. But when we lived here before, I performed in almost all the Fairfax County public schools, half of Prince William libraries and schools. I did all the Smithsonian's. So
you perform as Louisa May Alcott?
Not always. I perform as myself as a story performer, and then I also perform as Louisa May Alcott.
And how did you learn to speak with her voice?
What really, I don't worry about an accent as much as I delve into the character. And that was a very perceptive question, because speaking in her voice doesn't mean that I have to sound like I'm from New England. No, but it means that I have to know what she would answer to something and how she would put together. So I've read almost all the bios of her that I could find, and especially her journals that quote her, where she quotes herself. And there's a lot of places in Little Women and her other books where she goes back to her journals. And actually, and you can line it up and see what was real and what she adapted.
Yes.
And I recently did a program for Civil War Roundtable in Ohio. They brought me out to do it. And I talked about how the Civil War changed her life and influenced her work. It made Little Women possible.
Okay. I read, too, that I believe she had several sisters, and they would put on little plays and stuff.
Indeed, they put on plays. She loved to act.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful seamstress. And in real life, evidently, the youngest sister was not as much of a brat as she is in Little Women.
Good to know.
It was good. No manuscripts were ever burned.
Okay.
So, but she made all the girls' clothes. I mean, she made all. And then when her sister died in Switzerland, her sister, the artist, she had Louisa May become the guardian for her child.
Oh.
Sent her back to the States. So, I mean, this shows you how close. And Louisa May was all about family. And as an Italian, I can relate to that.
Oh, so that's the connection.
Family.
Big connection for you.
Yeah, it's okay. A big connection. And also her desire to work, to do things for her family.
Okay, well, it's very interesting. And tell us again the name of those poetry.
This book is Feathers on Stone.
Feathers on Stone, okay.
And you can get it from Main Street Rag online.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
And if you go to Amazon, you'll find my other book, Languid Lusciousness with Lemon.
Languid
Lusciousness with Lemon.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Thank you.